From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. The North Carolina State Auditor's Office recently released an investigative report examining Cape Fear Community College's finances. This came after months of media scrutiny and the sudden resignation of the college president during a January board meeting. And while the spending of government officials is still under a microscope locally and nationally, investigations are also ramping up at the state level. Beth Wood, North Carolina State Auditor, is with us today to answer questions about her findings regarding the local community college and what the taxpayer, the citizen, needs to understand about transparency and accountability for public officials. Beth Wood is serving her second term as state auditor after first winning election in 2008. She is also the first female to hold that office. Beth Wood, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for having me, Rachel. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. And we're inviting you to join the conversation. Do you have a question for North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood? If so, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also send your comments or questions to coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at @CoastlineHQR. Beth Wood, an investigative report is a different animal, as we know, from a routine audit. So let's set the stage here for the Cape Fear Community College investigative publication. When was the last routine audit there, and what triggered this investigation?
The community colleges are audited every other year. And so the routine financial statement audit, I believe, was done for the fiscal year ended 2014. And an investigation, though, is more pointed, if you will. There are certain allegations, and when you are performing an investigation, you're going in and looking at those allegations. You are trying to substantiate those allegations. Certainly, if another issue arises, you may look at that too, but your scope is a lot more narrowed in an investigation than it is in a financial statement audit. And of course, in a financial statement audit, there are standards that you follow. There are certain things that you're going to look at. In an investigation, like I said, it's a very narrow scope around the allegations that were made.
And why is it that you've said before that it's usually citizen tips that lead to discoveries like some of the ones that you made in this case? But why is it that the routine financial audit every other year wouldn't have revealed what was revealed in this investigative situation? Were the findings too small? Was the money immaterial in terms of a regular audit?
Those are a couple of the issues. You're exactly right. We are handed in a routine financial statement audit a set of financial statements. We're looking at the balance sheet. We're looking at the income statement and the cash flow and notes. And then the users of those financial statements want to know, before I depend on this financial information, is it accurate? And our opinion basically will say those financial statements are accurate, plus or minus some number. We're calling them fairly stated. And so you're right. Most organizations, no organization can really afford, if you looked at every transaction, every dollar. So you're looking at where there's the highest risk for misstatements of financial information, whether it's an error or it's fraud, but you're looking at the highest risk areas, which would be the largest dollars. And you're right, for these types of issues, the magnitude of the dollars were not large enough to be picked up in a normal routine financial statement audit.
And so what were the key findings in this particular report?
For this report, we found that the former community college president had given raises and promotions and raises that went with those promotions that covered more than $50,000. And of course, those raises are recurring. So that's $50,000 that's gone to raises for people that will be spent for these people every year. But these raises and these promotions and the hiring of a vice president of a particular division had not been approved by the school board, the community college board. So now you've made these raises, you've made these commitments, you're going to spend this money, so you've pulled $50,000 away from the board, who's responsible for the budget, who's responsible to decide how the monies are going to be spent. And so he didn't get the proper approval for the promotions, the raises, and the hiring. Then we found that the community college had this vending fund, and again, the monies were supposed to be used for the business of the college, to be used for the students of the college.
And what is a vending fund?
It's just the vending machines. Mm-hmm. It's where they collect monies out of those vending machines. And so the former president ended up paying for leased vehicle, $24,000 for himself. And that was never a part of his agreement to come to work there.
That wasn't part of his compensation package.
Exactly. And then he has spent another $7,000 on a marketing group to help him get rid of some negative media. He spent money on his wife's tickets to go to a conference, airline tickets, an upgrade to her tickets, meals for her, registration for the conference. And so he spent upgrades for his own travel. So it was money that was not necessarily to promote the business of the community college. And then the last issue that we found is that he did drive a car that was leased by the community college, and that sort of was not transparent. But on top of that, he received the IRS mileage rate for reimbursement for all the miles he drove, as opposed to just getting reimbursed for the gas he put into a leased car.
And that last point in your report, you actually, with each finding, you cite the statute or the principle that explains why it's a violation. And you actually cited something there regarding out-of-pocket expenses, actual out-of-pocket expenses, versus getting reimbursed over that amount. And I just found it sort of staggering that that even had to be put into writing when you're talking about public money. I mean, isn't that sort of a really? Why was that particular point justified in that way?
Well, when you say justified in that way?
Well, there was a particular, and I can probably find it, but there was, you said there's not actually a state statute in your explanation
about reimbursement for a state leased vehicle. But you're exactly right. You like to think that you don't have to have a law and a rule for sort of the common sense things. Now, there is an underlying that the dollars spent will be for a public use, that will be for the use for the business of the community college. And then you turn around and find out that you're over reimbursing him. His out-of-pocket expenses was just for the gas he put into the car. The community college paid for the lease, which covers the maintenance, the tires, and whatever. So again, you would think, being a good steward, that just the common sense would kick in that you weren't owed any more money than the out-of-pocket expenses.
And in terms of this report, the amount of money that you determined that was either misspent or misappropriated turned out to be about how much altogether?
Probably close to $100,000 when you look at the $50,000+ in salaries that were given that did not have board approval. And then you look at the monies that were inappropriately used by the former president himself, it comes to about probably $75,000 that was inappropriately spent.
And to a lot of taxpayers, that sounds like a lot of money. It doesn't sound immaterial.
I would agree with that statement. We like to say, imagine how many taxpayers you have to line up to make up that $75,000 in their hard-earned tax dollars to pay for this misappropriations.
In your report, you've made it very clear that these were connected to the actions of the former president of the community college. But is there anyone else that should be held accountable here?
Absolutely. Your board of trustees, and again, I commend them for calling us in and bringing this to our attention, but it is the responsibility of the Board of Trustees to be watching the expenditures of the community college, to be making sure that when they sign off on a budget, that things haven't been put into a budget or hidden in a budget that they're not aware of, like those raises. And then making sure that they have the policies and procedures in place to make sure that all the monies running through that community college are spent on the business and the benefit of the community college and the struggling students and the students that are trying to get their education at that community college.
And you received a response from the Board of Trustees that essentially agreed with all of your conclusions, and they also laid out a plan.
They did agree with our conclusions, and they have laid out plans for making sure that all presidents are trained, that all of the policies and procedures that went lacking in this situation have been put into place, and that they're working, and to make sure that they are taking the steps they need to oversee the expenditures of that college, which is their responsibility.
One of your recommendations was that the community college consult with legal counsel to see if they should pursue the recovery of some of these funds. Is that something that your office will be following up on, or will you be following up on their plan to make sure they're in compliance with what they said they'd do?
We certainly will be looking at, are they in compliance? We will be back in there to perform the routine financial statement audit, and that's a great opportunity to just take a look to see if the policies and procedures have been put in place, and then to quickly test to make sure that they're actually being followed.
And when does that audit process begin, that routine audit process?
I apologize. Because we are auditing some community colleges one year and some another, I'm not sure which schedule they're on. But if they were audited in 2015, then it'll be 2017 when we're back in there.
Okay, you're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking with North Carolina State Auditor Beth Wood. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email coastline@whqr.org. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is Coastline.